3XL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by our man, Todd Furman. Hey, is boxing back, Todd? Because people sure were talking a lot about boxing leading up to this fight and after this fight and still talking about boxing. Can we say boxing is back?
I don't want to say it's back just yet, but I do think any time that there is a clash of the Titans in the heavyweight division, it's great for the sport. And I can tell you, having been at MGM all weekend long for fight festivities and ultimately the fight Saturday night, there was a ton of energy in there. And I think a lot of people left there surprised with the dominant performance that Tyson Fury put forth. I mean, we were in the camp thinking that he was the more polished boxer. I was stunned, though, that the number actually took off with Deontay Wilder closing about a $1.45 favorite. Wow. He looked like a deer in headlights, though, nearly from the start.
His costume was too heavy, Todd. He was tired.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Firefighters walk around in a lot more equipment than that, and they seem to still be okay. So Deontay, with his excuses, he'll have a chance to put his money where his mouth is in a third installment. Should we see that this summer, maybe even in the fall?
Yeah, there's a 30-day window, and the winner gets 60%. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll see that. There's no doubt.
How would you break down a third installment if it were to be announced today?
Tyson will be a heavy favorite, more so than the number we saw in this last bout. But I think you're going to see a lot of people operate under the assumption that Deontay Wilder can fix everything that went wrong. The problem being is he's gotten away so oftentimes in his career being a power puncher, having that right hand that can be the ultimate bailout. But against Tyson Fury, who came in great condition, looked to be completely polished, and you could see that cool, calm, collected demeanor walking into the ring. Unless Fury mails in his training, I don't see how Deontay Wilder can level the gap.
Well, I mean, if you get an inner ear infection, like you could fall walking down the hallway. I mean, he got blasted in the ear. I can't believe he stayed up until the seventh round.
Oh, there's no doubt about it that played a big role, but I think part of that is because he wasn't able to play defense. Now, I know he said that those were potentially some illegal shots where Tyson Fury used a hammer punch on the back of his head.
He did.
But having watched the first couple rounds, even before he had the ruptured ear, he didn't land any shots really scaring Fury. He got right in there, came inside, and kind of took the fight to Deontay Wilder, a far cry from the first time.
Let me ask you this about the fight. Everybody I talked to, it seemed like, thought Wilder was going to win going in. Where did the bet end up? What was it heavily leaning toward? Where was the public bet?
Wilder? The public was all on Deontay Wilder. Yeah. And, you know, the guys that I speak to, some of the professionals, we all had tickets on Tyson Fury, and we're stunned that the number kept drifting in Deontay Wilder's favor. But it just goes to show that the public can have their say in a betting market from time to time. And when 8 out of every 10 tickets, especially for the books throughout the desert, were all coming in on one side, books had no choice but to continue moving that price. So it wasn't indicative of where the professionals were. But speaking to your point, there was a lot more casual interest, and it played a major role in ultimately what that number closed at.
So we know what Tyson and Wilder 3 could do, right? There will be a ton of interest in that. Is there another fight in the heavyweight world that could garner some of that, like a similar level of attention?
Yeah, I don't know if it will garner as much attention here domestically, but I can tell you that if Tyson Fury were to fight Anthony Joshua, you'd probably be best served to put that in Wembley Stadium and could probably sell 100,000 tickets there. I know some of the luster for Anthony Joshua wore off when he was knocked out by a guy that looked like he should be in a pizza kitchen, more so than a heavyweight championship at Mr. Ruiz. But at the same time, Joshua came back, was able to atone for that. And Joshua is a very popular fighter as far as the British circles go. I'm interested to see if that ultimately does become a fight we get, if it's at Wembley in front of 100,000, or if they have it in Las Vegas and it can generate that same buzz without having an American in the mix.
Todd Furman, our guest, talking all things Las Vegas odds in the world of sports. The combine going on right now. We always wonder, will somebody break the speed record? You know, somebody going to break the 40-yard dash record or the bench press record? What kind of props are there on this? And do you think there's a guy out there who can run faster than John Ross?
Yeah, I mean, John Ross, you mentioned his record there. If you believe that record will be broken, 4-1, the going rate at Fox Bet to get into the 4 and high teens, so to speak. What was interesting, I did see one offshore book actually pull numbers off the board for Henry Ruggs. Saw books open his number as low as 4.23, other shops as high as 4.38. I can tell you the books that had the 4.38 quickly pulled that number off. I think when you look around, he's a guy that has potential to be a real burner. Maybe it's Jalen Reagor coming out of TCU. But I'll be honest, oftentimes with some of these things, it's the guys that you don't expect that can kind of burst onto the scene, because players from some of those secondary schools or even the lower divisions, they're the ones working a lot more to try and shave a tenth of a second here or there just so they can get that invite to camp and hopefully earn a roster spot on the active roster.
the latest odds on Tom Brady and where he might land? Because according to Ian Rappaport today, it sounds like the Titans may be trying to speed up some negotiations with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, still a heavy favorite right now. It'll end up in New England, about a 1-3 favorite there. The Chargers and Raiders check in at the most logical landing spots as far as odds makers are concerned. Behind that, if you still are holding out hope that Tommy Terrific wants to take his talents to Titan Country, the going rate there, about 18-1 if you shop around. I just think that that's become as much of a leverage play as anything else, and while it'd be great nostalgia for Tom Brady to be reunited with Mike Vrabel, I'm not sure that's ultimately where he's going to go. So the Titans would be well served to make sure they secure one quarterback on their roster, knowing how well Ryan Tannehill played for the latter portion of the regular season and, of course, the Cinderella-type playoff run he led until they ran into the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation where both could use leverage, right? So interesting that that may be going on.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be fascinating because there's a number of quarterbacks out there right now without work, whether you're talking about Philip Rivers and where he'll end up, where Marcus Mariota, what roster he'll ultimately be on, and if he has a chance to become a starting quarterback again. Jameis Winston doesn't appear to be beloved by his head coach, Bruce Arians. And he's the guy, in my opinion, that I think has the most talent that it can operate in the right system and maybe raise his level of play. I'm stunned that Tampa didn't want to at least franchise tag him and bring him back. I knew he threw 30 interceptions last year, but he still did lead the league in passing yards, passing attempts, and had 30-plus touchdowns. So be interesting to see how all this stuff plays out. I'm not sure any of it, honestly, fundamentally impacts the odds to win the Super Bowl when you look at the fact that Kansas City very stable at that position, and the same for the so-called favorites in the NFC, barring a move from Dak Prescott somewhere outside of Dallas.
What are the odds that Mitchell Trubisky ends up as Todd Furman's personal assistant?
You know what? I'm not quite sure Mitchell would fit the billing. We typically hold our employees to a very high standard here at Furman Sports Consulting, and one of the big parts that we look for on a resume is accuracy, and clearly that's something Mitchell Trubisky hasn't been able to deliver on as a starting quarterback in Chicago thus far.
Phillip Rivers to the Colts?
I think it makes a ton of sense. I know a lot of people are talking about him going down there to Tampa after he relocated his family, but you look at this Colts team, you have a climate-controlled environment, you have a relationship already that exists between Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers, you have a near-fortress offensive line, and I think if Rivers can cut down on some of the times he's asked to throw the football, by default those interception figures come down, and he provides the perfect stopgap if the Colts were to draft a quarterback this year or maybe next year, to kind of hand that baton off to. The other thing about it is they have a very franchise-friendly deal for Jacoby Brissett that if even if he was relegated to backup duty, it wouldn't be the end of the world and become a massive handicap in terms of their salary cap and what they had flexibility to do going forward.
Todd Furman, on our way out, who are your current top four NCAA seeds as we speed towards March?
I think it's hard to argue the top three right now. Kansas number one, Baylor number two, and Gonzaga number three, even the Zags on the heels of that loss to BYU. And that's where things start to get interesting, where conference tournaments will play a big role. Because I've seen San Diego State. I'm not sure they're the fourth best team. I look at Duke, an ugly loss to Wake Forest, and I go through some of my rankings. I think if Maryland ultimately wins the Big Ten and can get to the conference championship, knowing how rugged that league has been, Maryland has an excellent chance to get to that top line. But I also, you know, as much as people don't want some of the mid-majors to get their acclaim, wouldn't rule out a Dayton team. If they ran the table through the Atlantic 10 and ultimately won the conference tournament, this team has a pretty good resume. The only losses would be on a neutral court to Kansas, and I believe Colorado was the only other loss for the Flyers so far this season.
Todd, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, guys. We'll chat with you next week.
Yes, sir.
Todd Furman on 104.5 The Zone. Presented by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today.